The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, there is no better place to be on a Sunday than to be in the house of the Lord. You have done well to be in the house of the Lord this day. We are continuing with what we started 2 weeks ago. And I want us to start in the book of Isaiah 3:10 in the Message translation, Mr. MJ. Because indeed God has already prepared for us good things. Not only in the life to come, but also in this life. Do you know that when God created the heavens and the earth, he placed Adam on earth before there was sin? So it means it was God's intention that Adam should enjoy the earth. Amen? I want you to understand that, because sometimes we think we were created for heaven. Amen? You know, Adam was created and he was placed on earth. Okay? Before he sinned. Had he not sinned, he would have just been perpetually living here. Amen? But when he sinned, God already had a plan of our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to go to the book of Isaiah 3:10, Mr. MJ, because my task is to reassure you that if you live for God, your good living will pay off.
Amen.
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 Don't be disturbed what people say, by what people tell you, or you look at others whom you don't even know how they are prospering. You find others having cars and all that. Only some years you hear it was corrupt activities. And you were trying to compete with them. Don't ever compete with anybody. Amen? The Lord knows about you. And Mr. MJ 3:10, Isaiah.
Reassure the righteous that their good living will pay off.
Amen. Do I have some righteous people here in the church? I want to reassure you. Your good living will pay off. Amen. You might be saying, but Pastor, I've been struggling, I've been pushing and pushing and pushing, and it seems things are not getting better. I'm here to reassure you. That's why you need reassurance. When you're starting to doubt, Lord, do you really mean it? Yes, he means it. That's why in Isaiah 1:19, Mr. MJ, we go Isaiah 1:19, New King James Version, he reaffirms the same thing. And I like it that he also tells us that what we are going to enjoy is not just only when the Lord comes back, not our eternity with the Lord, but also here on the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You remember the other time we read a scripture in Ecclesiastes where the preacher says, I saw something on the earth where the princes were walking on feet when actually servants were riding on horses. Amen? And I told you, you don't have to be jealousy of unbelievers when you think they are riding on horses. God did not stop you from riding your own horse.
Yeah.
Amen? Instead of you focusing on those ones, why? You see, these sinners, they do all these things. You remember the scripture we read in Malachi. They even test God and they get away with it and all that. It seems things are going well for them and we are children of God and this and this and this. No. God did not stop you from getting your own lot in life. So let's listen to it. Isaiah 1:19.
If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Okay. Can I tell you what that verse does not say? It does not say, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of heaven. It doesn't say that, isn't it? Neither does it say, you will be forced to eat the good of the land whether you like it or not. Doesn't say that, isn't it? What does it say? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You know, there are people who say, I don't mind even if I'm poor as long as I'm serving God. You don't mind, but then you won't eat it. Because you are not willing. You're not looking for it. And others say, yes, prosperity is mine. Prosperity is mine. The Lord is good and the Lord is good. But they are not obedient. Amen. You've got to be willing and obedient. Then we will eat the good of the land. And I told you that the good thing with prosperity, the godly way, is that you can really enjoy what God has blessed you with. Because you know, people of the world, you will, the people that you think they are prospering, you will see them today blossoming, tomorrow they are gone. So your prosperity and your success has to be based on God's word. Amen? And the good thing is that if you prosper the godly way, then you can enjoy the good of the land. Because I remember in the book of Ecclesiastes, again the preacher, he says, I've seen something terrible on the earth where God allows certain people to work hard and they amass a lot of wealth, but he denies them the opportunity to eat that wealth, and another foolish man comes and eats it. That's the preacher. Amen. Which means we need to have our hearts in the right place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And I told you, we don't chase after things. Things chase after us. As we diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God. So as we go to the book of 3 John, verse 2, Mr. MJ, in the King James Version, I want to say to you that, I think I gave you this example. I said, if somebody is a multi-millionaire, or maybe there are people who are even billionaires in the times we're living in, and you think, what does a person do with such money? Do you know that if that person is sick, and they are terminally sick, do you know that their money cannot buy them health? Do you know that you can buy food, but you cannot buy appetite? How many of you have ever been sick in a way that, I mean, sometimes it happens, you find, you see nice food with that, and then you just feel like vomiting. You don't want this thing. Which means life is much more than food. Jesus already said that. He said, your body is much more important than your clothes. Amen. So when I want to prosper, I want to prosper the godly way, that I prosper spiritually, I prosper physically, I have material substance, but I'm also sound in my mind. I told you that, especially in the African context, when somebody seems to be succeeding and you are not trusting in God, sometimes there are people who do something, then you lose your mind, even if you had a lot of substance. So I want a prosperity, the godly way, that even those who may envy me, they can do me nothing, because my prosperity is based on God. So 3 John 2.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
Okay. The word of God is good, man. He says, beloved, I wish as the last resort that you might prosper. Did he say that? Huh? He says, above all things. I would have thought he should wish me other things, man. But he says, above all things, I wish that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So because it's going well for me in my spirit, John says, I wish that it may go well with you, even in material substance. But I also want you to be in health so that you can enjoy what God has blessed you with. Amen? I told you, what's the need, what's the use of having delicious food and you lose the appetite? Amen? I want both. I want good food and I want good appetite. Amen? Yes, that's why he wishes that above all things I may prosper and be in good health. And I told you last week that for me, that word health does not mean healing. It's good to get healed when you are sick, but it's better to live in health. Amen. That's why, as for me, I don't wait to be attacked by sickness to confess healing. I thank God for my health every day. I speak divine health. I don't wait for sickness to then say God is powerful. I see his power every day as he sustains me, as he preserves me. Amen. I gave you a simple example. I say many people think the greatest testimony is when you were involved in a serious car accident and then the car is beyond repair, but you don't even have a scratch. That's a very good testimony, isn't it? But I think I even like the one where my car is not even beyond repair. The car is not even touched. That to me is a better one. Amen. So some of you are waiting for the car to be beyond repair to have a testimony. For us, we've got a testimony every day. Just to be preserved like this. Just to be in good health. Amen. Just to wake up and you are enjoying good health. Thank God for divine health every day like your pastor does. Yes, because you will see the day you fall sick, you realize what an advantage you had yesterday. Amen. So he says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Okay, now, what is the secret of this? Because now I want to link this with the journey of the Israelites, but I also want to link it with what is that recipe for our success? What is that thing that we need to succeed? I remember one time when Jesus had visited Martha and Mary. Then Martha was troubled by many things and she was serving and all that, and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to the word. And when Mary was troubled and said, Jesus, don't you care that my sister doesn't come and help me? Jesus said, Martha, 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 you are troubled and worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which cannot be taken away. Tell your neighbor, you need the word. Amen. Amen. I cannot deceive you and say prosperity and success will just come and I'm prophesying here, you will all prosper, you will all succeed. I can do that if I wanted to deceive you. But I've got to tell you what God has said. And look at it. Proverbs 4. 20-23, New King James Version. Proverbs 4, 20-23, Mr. MJ, NKJV. I want you to look at this, and then we are going to take an example of somebody in the Old Testament, and it's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Some of you might know him before I talk about him. But Proverbs 4, 20-23, Mr. MJ, NKJV.
My son, give attention to my words.
Okay, my son, give attention to my ways.
Mm-hmm. Incline your ear to my sayings.
Incline your ear to my sayings. Mm-hmm.
Do not let them depart from your eyes.
Oh, I want to ask you something. If he says, don't let them depart from your eyes, can you see words? So he's obviously talking about which words?
The word.
The word of God. Because he says, incline your ear to my saying, but don't let them depart from your eyes.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
You are here, you listen to the word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you also go home and continue to search the scriptures like the Christians in Berea. And as you look at the word, you don't let it depart from your eyes.
Mm.
Continue.
Keep them in the midst of your heart.
So it seems like my ears are a gateway to my heart. My eyes are a gateway to my heart. Continue.
For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh.
Oh, so these words are life to all who find them, and what? And again, yeah. That word, health. They are health to my body. So it means you can use the word of God to stay in divine health. Keep on speaking it. Keep on speaking it. That's how it works. Amen. Do it the godly way. God has prescribed it to work like that. As you keep on speaking it, that's how it works. Okay, now. For what we need to link with today, I want you to... I personally always equate the life of a Christian or the journey of a Christian with the journey of the Israelites from slavery to the promised land. You know that the Israelites, God promised them when they were still in slavery, he promised them the promised land. Okay? So we were also once in slavery, in sin. Okay? And he makes these good and precious promises. That's what Peter says. These good and precious promises. So we also have our promised land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Our promised land. Amen? But then, when the Israelites were given that promise, do you know that it was not automatic that they would get it? And somewhere, even their enemies would do everything to stop them from getting what was promised to them. So you are no different. So when God has given you a promise of divine health, when God has given you a promise of long life, when God has given you a promise of success on the earth, the enemy will try and block you from your promised land. So we are going to learn today from Joshua. He's my favorite character in the Old Testament. Joshua. Because with Joshua, he was there when God told Moses and when the Israelites were told about the promised land. And you know, this is how God does it. Do you know that when God told the Israelites when they were in Egypt about the promised land, do you know that he didn't tell them about the desert? Huh? Yeah. Even you, when you got born again, we don't tell you about the desert. Amen? And you say, oh, now that I'm born again, everything is sorted. No more problems. And now when you start going through the desert, now you start saying, ah, this Christianity thing doesn't work. Amen? So he told them about the promised land, but he did not tell them about the desert. Because he wanted them to walk with him by faith. So similarly, he tells me my destiny, but he doesn't tell me about the desert and the obstacles I will get along the way. So that each step must be a step of faith. So let's go. Joshua chapter 1. Mr. MJ, we'll start 2 and 3. NKJV. Joshua chapter 1. Now, I want you to look at this with Joshua and think of Joshua as any one of us, even more so as me, as the pastor. Amen? And you think there are things that God had promised the Israelites. But how did they ultimately enjoy the benefits of those promises? Mr. MJ, let's go.
Moses, my servant, is dead.
Oh, okay. So God was talking to Joshua. You know, there are people who are always hanging on the past. Some of you, you are even an adult now, you keep on saying, if my mother was still here, or all these troubles, we are poor because our grandmother, this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Amen. Tell your neighbor, the Lord says, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is even more so for those who want to bask in the past glories. Yeah. Or to say, if this one was here, this one was here. So don't you think that Joshua, when he was supposed to take over, he was thinking, if Moses was here, Now God starts with him by saying, the first words he says to Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Do you think Joshua did not know that Moses was dead? He knew. But he was reminded, hey, the Moses chapter is closed. So what should happen now?
Now, therefore.
Okay. So we tell you the Moses chapter is past tense, and we tell you now. Mm. Now, therefore.
Mm-hmm. Arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel.
Do you see they were also promised a land? Huh?
Yes.
Like if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You are also promised a land. So they were also promised a land. Continue.
Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses.
This is one of the verses I like. It says, every place that the sole of whose foot? Of your foot will tread upon, that have I given you. So who determines what you will get? Yeah, it's not God. God has already said he wants it to be well with you, but you need to tread upon every place. Every place. So I will simplify it this way for you guys. Do you know that even with us as servants of God, we also have to live by faith and get things from God by faith like anybody else? Now, imagine somebody is a pastor and he is mightily used by God, maybe in success, prosperity, winning, and maybe winning souls. But he does not tread the land of divine health. Do you think he should also live in divine health just because he's winning souls? If you listen to this verse, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you. So I have the responsibility to tread upon every promise I need. Amen. That's why you will find certain people succeed in other things. Others, even some great men of God that you know about, you may esteem this man of God highly for this. But you find that in another side, he did not succeed. You know that, isn't it? It's because it doesn't work by just because I'm a man of God and that I succeeded in this one place. All the places that I want them to be mine, I've got to tread upon them. Amen. One of the ones that you must tread very much on is the land of divine health. The land of living in health. Amen? Yeah. And you can even trust God for long life. Amen? You've got to believe those things. Those are lands that you need to possess. So if you say, I don't mind even if I die, I don't mind even if I'm poor, are you treading any land there? You are giving away the land. So while you're supposed to, Jesus says to his disciples, occupy until I come. Amen. Take charge. Amen. So he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you. So go to verse 5, Mr. MJ, 5 to 9.
No man shall be able to stand before you
hey.
All the days of your life.
Say, hey. So what about those of you who says, people are standing on my way. I'm not getting promotion because you see these people here, they stand on our way. Which God do you serve? According to this verse, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. But you need to know that. You need to know that my God wants it to be well with me. And he has already paved a way for me. And when God opens a door, no one can shut it. Amen? Continue.
As I was with Moses, so I will be with you.
I like it when God is with me. Because if God is with you, you are with the majority. It doesn't matter how many people come against you. If God is with you, you remember the other weeks I was sharing you about one angel destroying thousands and thousands of enemies. Just one. So if God is with you, then you are sorted. Continue.
I will not leave you nor forsake you.
I like this thing. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not disappoint you. Even those that are mocking your Christian walk and say, we are going to see his or her failure. God says, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. What are you required to do?
Be strong and of good courage.
Yeah. You only need to stand strong and be courageous.
For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them.
So Joshua's task was to divide them the land that God has promised them. My task is to also divide you the land that God has promised you. We are in the same boat. Continue.
Only be strong and very courageous.
Yes. I'll have to be strong and very courageous. Because there are things that, do you know that the word, the opposite of courage is the word discourage. You know that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Courage, discourage. So there are things that will come to discourage you. You only need to be strong and courageous. Take courage. When you feel like quitting, be courageous. Continue.
That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go.
Now, do you see the word prosper? See, last week we read a lot of scriptures about prosper. And I said, it doesn't say poverty. This verse doesn't say so that you may be poor wherever you go. So where do you get that you might be poor wherever you go? It says, observe what I'm teaching you. Then you don't have to envy the people of the world. You can prosper wherever you go, and you are prospering my way. Continue.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth.
Now do you see again? So we heard that the word, we incline the ear unto the sayings of the Lord. Do you remember in Proverbs?
Yes.
And then the eyes, it should not depart from our eyes. Now, what is the third gateway?
Your mouth.
Yeah. It says, in this one now, it says this book of the law. So it says the book. How can the book be in my mouth, man? It's obviously talking about the word. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It shall not depart from your mouth. Because if you are keeping on speaking your problems, you are speaking, keeping on speaking your challenges, you are keeping on gossiping, you will not succeed. Because you're not speaking the word. You are not speaking the book. Even Jesus succeeded by keeping on saying, it is written. So you also need to learn to say, it is written. I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Continue.
But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein.
Okay. So you meditate upon the book day and night, or meditate upon the word of God day and night. And some of you say, then I would have life. Day and night, meditating on the word. Can I ask you a question? When you've got a big problem, doesn't the problem want you to meditate on it even at midnight? I mean, you wake up and you were not, you wanted to sleep, but now you can't sleep. And if you've got somebody who stays with you, why are you not sleeping? Because you are meditating on the problem day and night. Night was supposed to be time to sleep, but you are meditating on the problem. So you want to deny me the opportunity to meditate the word, but you have the right to meditate on the problem? The same energy it takes to meditate on the problem, you can use that energy to meditate on the word of God. Amen. Amen. The other time I told some of you, one of the tricks that I learned this one long ago, and I use it, and the devil knows it, so he doesn't try that one. If something wants to worry me, the devil wants me to be awake, to meditate on the worry, then I pray and meditate on the word. Then quickly he will let you sleep. Because now he realizes, we didn't wake you up to meditate on the word. We woke you up to meditate on your problem. Now you can sleep. Then you sleep. Amen. So when you have sleepless nights because you are meditating on problems, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go to the word and meditate on the word day and night. And the good thing is that when you meditate on the word, you start thinking like God. You start seeing your problems the same way that God sees them. Do you think God sees your problem as, hey, this is a serious problem. Hey, my child there has got a very big problem. Do you think God thinks like that? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. With God, it's such a simple thing. The other time I was sharing that scripture in Kings that says, with God, this is just a simple matter. Okay, continue.
From then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success.
So who makes your way prosperous?
Your way.
You. So if you are not prosperous, who should be blamed? You are the one who's supposed to make your way
prosperous.
Prosperous. And then you will have good success. Verse 9.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid.
Yes.
Nor be dismayed.
Yes.
For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
I like this. I like it that wherever I go, the Lord my God is with me. Amen. And this is what God said to Joshua. But do you know that Joshua and Caleb, they also had to now obey God. God gives you the word, and you, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So you still need to obey the word that you have been given for it to work. So go with me to Numbers 14, 24, New King James Version. And you will see that God is looking for people who are holding on to him. He is looking for people who are different from the crowd. You know that many people, they just go along with the crowd. They go along with what is politically convenient. As a child of God, you need to stick with what God has said. You need to be different from the world. And God says about Caleb, I like Joshua, and then he was always with Caleb. Look, verse 24.
But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it.
So obviously that scripture, I'm studying it in the middle. If it says but, it means there was something before it. It was when God was saying, these Israelites, they don't believe me. They don't want to follow me. They don't want to follow my ways. So every one of you, 20 years and above, you will not enter the promised land. You are going, he says the journey, by the way, it says the journey that they were supposed to take was supposed to be a 40-day journey. Then he said, you are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. One year for every day that you could have walked. And he did that so that all those who don't believe must be finished. He says, but of the people that are over the age, I still have two people that have followed my way. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, he cannot be treated like the world. Ask your neighbor, do you have a different spirit? So you will not be treated like the world. You will not be treated like the rest of them. Amen. Okay, let's go to Numbers 13. 27 to 33, New King James Version. I want you to look at this because I always think when I look at you here, you all look good Christians. But do you know that according to Jesus, when the word is sown, there are those who hear the word and do it, and he likens them to people who build their houses on the rock, on a solid foundation, that when the wind come, when the storms blow, that house keep on standing. But he says there are others who hear the word and do not do the word. What does he say about them? He says these ones are like foolish people who build their house on a sand. And when the winds come and blow, that house falls and great is its fall. So he is saying, take time to make a strong foundation on my word. Because if you take shortcuts, when the wind comes, your house will crumble. Okay? So when I look at all of you, you look to be good Christians, man. Yeah, you look good. I don't know who of you are building your house on the sand and who of you are building your house on the rock. How will it be tested? When the wind comes. Yeah, Jesus said, when the winds come and blow against this one house that was founded on the rock, that house stood. But the same wind, when it came against the house that was not founded on the rock, the house fell because it was built on sand. So it means your success or your failure is not up to God. Amen? Isn't it? Yeah. So you must decide when you hear the word. I told you sometimes you're preaching. Imagine we're preaching and somebody is sleeping, is slumbering. Do you think that word will help them? The enemy is stealing it straight away. Okay? But somebody hears this word and they say, hey, what the pastor was saying really is encouraging me. You go home, you study that word again, you meditate on it. Then you are making your solid foundation, solid rock. That when the enemy comes to try and shake you, you cannot be shaken. The Bible says the righteous are like Mount Zion that cannot be shaken. I shall not be moved. But now, look at this in Numbers chapter 13. I want to show you this because this is interesting. So, when the Israelites were going to go to the promised land, Moses sent 12 spies. And the 12 spies were chosen according to each tribe. So in essence, the Bible doesn't say that. I believe these were the chosen people who were seen to be the people who could do the work that was at hand. Now they were sent being 12. Now they are coming back. Mr. MJ, you will read for us in the New King James Version, Numbers 13, 27 to 33. I want to see how when they come back, because God had already promised them the land that flows with milk and honey. He had already promised them the good land like he's promising you. But look at what happens when they come back.
Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.
Okay. Who had said that the land flows with milk and honey? God had told them that, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And I want you to get that land. Yeah. And they say, here is the evidence of it. This is its fruit. Uh-huh.
Nevertheless.
Oh, okay. That word nevertheless is the same word as but. Mm. Okay. Nevertheless. Continue. Mm.
The people who dwell in the land are strong.
Oh, okay. Mm. So the land flows with milk and honey, but there is a problem.
Mm.
Continue.
The cities are fortified and very large.
Hey, but these people are not saying what God said. They just said the one word that, yeah, it flows with milk and honey, but now they start telling all the
problems.
Mm. The people are strong.
Mm.
The walls are fortified and very large.
Mm-hmm. Moreover, We saw the descendants of Anak there.
The descendants of Anak, people like Goliath, they were coming from the Anakims. So they were the tall people. So they say, the cities are fortified. The walls are fortified. People are strong. There are giants there. Is that the word?
No.
Oh, continue.
The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.
You know, I'm smiling, I'm laughing here alone, because you see people who like talking problems. They have every detail of every problem, but they've got no detail of the word. I mean, you only have one sentence, indeed the land flows with milk and honey, full stop. Nevertheless, now is your space. The walls are fortified. The people are strong. The Amalekites are that side. The Jebusites. Don't you see that? That's how some people behave even in the days we're living in. You don't know verses, you know gossips. If we give you a chance to talk. You can talk a lot of things about problems and that one. But if we say, okay, we've heard you. Can you give us two verses? Now you're quiet. Amen? Yeah. So if you want people to not bother you by gossips, when they come close to you, just keep on quoting the word. They will quickly run away if they don't have the word. So now what happens? Caleb. I like Caleb because he had a different spirit. So when others were complaining, when others were describing the problem, you know there are people who are good at describing the problem? But they cannot solve the problem. Okay, 13.
Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said.
Yeah, I like Caleb. Yeah, Caleb and Joshua, I like these ones. Because they always bring people back to what God says. So he quieted the people. Guys, no, it's enough. Continue.
Let us go up at once and take possession. For we are well able to overcome it.
So why was he confident? Because God told him, I'm giving you the land. He says, guys, let's go. We are well able to overcome it because God has promised us. We are taking God at his word. Then let's hear the crowd.
But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
Ah. So Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. They always aligned with what God has said. But the rest says, when Caleb and Joshua says, we are able. Do you know that even when we talk things, even here in church, sometimes if I'm talking, I can know if you are a Caleb or a Joshua or you are one of the 10. We talk something and now you tell us how impossible these things will be. It's one of the things I was even saying to my management team at work. I said the issue with, there are good things with experience. But the negative thing of experience is when you keep on telling us how things cannot happen because of your 40 years of experience. Amen. So they say, we are not able. It cannot happen. But God said you are able. So tell your neighbor, if God says you are able, then you are able. If God says you are healed, then you are healed. If God said you will live long on the earth, then you will live long on the earth. If God says you will be prosperous on the earth, then you will prosper on the earth. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the majority are saying because they are not obeying God. Continue.
And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants.
You know the problem with negative talk? You start lying. Because if the land devours the inhabitants, don't you think there should be nobody there? Then it's easy to go in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is contrary to what the guys just told us. They just defined how the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the what, and we saw them there. But now the land devours its inhabitants. They will lie. Because if the land devours the inhabitants, should there be inhabitants there? No. Continue.
And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.
Do you think this is correct? All the people we saw in that land are big people. I mean, there are no children, there are no... All the people we saw in that land. So there are people who are very good at magnifying the problem. When we say, we glorify your name, some of you are glorifying the problem. You're magnifying the problem. You're supposed to magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Okay, continue, Mr. MJ.
There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. Mm. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight.
Okay, again, you see the exaggeration. All the people are giants. Giants are big, isn't it? And all of us, we are like... But was that really their size? They are exaggerating again. So the enemy is a giant, and we are like grasshoppers. He says, it started in our sight. I like at least this one, they put it nicely. They say we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Do you know many people who have got a grasshopper mentality? It starts with them. You start thinking, no, in that church, you know, they undermine people. They don't even greet. It started where? you were seeing yourself as a grasshopper, in a way that even when we were busy, maybe we're busy with something. No, I could see that the pastor is actually not even interested in me, and that we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and we thought they also look at us like that. Never have a grasshopper mentality. Amen? If somebody hadn't greeted you, is that person who should be the first one to greet all the time? Why don't you go and greet them? I mean, there's no script that says who must greet first. So you were supposed to greet them and they were supposed to keep quiet. Then you've got a case. But you say they don't greet, but you didn't greet them also. We were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so were we. And people who are grasshoppers, who have got a grasshopper mentality, they keep on complaining. Even God got tired of the Israelites because of their complaints. I know there was one time where between God and Moses, no one wanted the Israelites. So Moses, God would say, your people, talking to Moses. And Moses says, your people, talking to God. Do you know, even with parents, sometimes if children are not doing well, the mother will say, your child. And then the father also, your child. Not mine. So go to Numbers 14, 2 to 9. I want you to look at these people. The people of Israel. And I'm bringing you this because as much as I'm talking about Caleb and Joshua, I also want to warn you about those that are always complaining. You know that there are people that when you greet them, no, life is tough. Things are difficult. Or when you greet them, not so bad. Huh? For me, if I greet you and you say not so bad, so your reference point is bad. Isn't it? When a person says not so bad, it means the reference point is always bad. But it's not so bad. Why are you not blessed, highly favored, and recommended for more blessings like your pastor? Speak like God, man. God thinks well about you. He does not think not so bad. He thinks, I wish that you may prosper and be in good health. I want things to go well with you. Amen. Now, Numbers 14, 2 to 9, New King James Version, the children of Israel again.
And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron.
Oh, okay. You see, now, if you complain, even here in church, just know that you are not the first one. You have your ancestors, your predecessors, who are very good at complaining, and they don't get anything done. There are people, I mean, you know them, isn't it? You know them. Yeah, you come with something. They always find a way to make something negative. Yeah, they always find a way. So now the children of Israel were complaining.
And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness.
Hey.
Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Wouldn't it not be better for us to return to Egypt?
Don't you think some Christians who think about backsliding, they're thinking like these ones? Yeah, I told you, this journey of the Israelites is exactly the journey of a Christian. So now they think, because things are difficult, is it not better to go back to Egypt? Have you ever thought of that one? I personally, even if, no matter how things can, difficult can be, I cannot go back to Egypt. Actually, for me, it's even worse, because I've caused so much trouble for the enemy that the day I decide to go to Egypt is finished with me. Amen? So, some of you, you are still surviving. The devil is looking for you. So, when you yield and go back to him, how do you hand back yourself to him? Because now, he's been looking for you all the time. And you were protected and covered because you were following God. The Lord had formed a hedge around you. Now you are jumping out and you're going back to Egypt. The enemy will finish you. The Bible says, your adversary, the devil, is roaming around looking for somebody to devour. Continue.
So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt.
Okay, go to 7.
And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land.
Oh, that was Joshua and Caleb. Maybe read them from 6.
But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying,
I always like to listen to Caleb and Joshua. So can I have some Calebs and Joshuas in this church?
Amen.
That even if you are few, the few of you will make things happen. Because you've got the spirit, you've got the right spirit. Continue.
The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, and he will bring us into this land and give it to us.
Yes.
A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread.
When you think they are giants, we think
they are our bread.
They are our bread. I like the attitude of Caleb and Joshua, man. Because the giants were supposed to trample on the grasshoppers. But now they say, we are not grasshoppers. They are our bread. Continue.
Their protection has departed from them.
Amen.
And the Lord is with us.
Amen.
Do not fear them.
Can we say amen to Brother Joshua and Brother Caleb?
Amen.
Amen. I like these guys. So, even in churches, we still have the Calebs and the Joshuas. So, if you are holding the right course and you are staying with the word, don't be discouraged with the other 10 spies. Because the other 10 spies would still be there. Okay? Just make sure you are not one of the 10, but you are either a Caleb or a Joshua. Amen. Because if you keep on going with the 10, you're not going to see the goodness of God. So I want to take this verse and then I'll start descending. But let's go to Joshua 23:14, New King James Version. Because Joshua, he received the promise from God. He wholeheartedly followed God. He was faithful to the ways of God. And I like the words that he spoke at the end. And I also want to speak words like his at the end of my journey. Because I want to come to that point where I would say, you remember I usually also say to you, I also want the words that in the New Testament that Paul spoke in 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 6. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm now ready to be offered. It was about the time when he was about to go. After living and fulfilling everything. He says, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have completed the course. Now I'm ready to go. I say, I like that, man. I like people who know when to depart and when not to depart. But I like also a Joshua here in the Old Testament because what he did here. Look at that, Joshua 23:14, when he was about to die.
Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you.
Did you see those words? Joshua says, I'm now going to die. But at least you all are witnesses that as I was walking with you, not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God spoke concerning you. May it also be that with you, not one thing that the Lord has spoke concerning you would fail. If God says anything about you, may it always be fulfilled. Because Jeremiah 1:12 says, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to fulfill it. So Joshua says, not one thing. So repeat that, not one thing.
Not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed.
Did you get that? He says, everything that the Lord has spoken concerning you, it was fulfilled. I'm now going, but at least I go with a heart that is full of thanks because I saw that God is faithful to his word. So as we are descending, I want to link this now with our time to give so that at least then you can see God has also said something concerning giving. Because here he says, not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord has said about you. As you stuck with what God has said, he fulfilled every promise. So go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 1 to 10. We'll do it in the NIV. Because I want you to look at what God says about giving and what he wants to do to us as we are obedient in giving. And if we say not one thing of all that the Lord has spoken has ever failed, it means even when he tells me to give and he says he will do something, that also will not fail. So go, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 9, NIV.
And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity.
I want you to look at verse 2 closely. Because it says these Macedonians, they did not use poverty as an excuse not to give. And when they give, now God does something. Amen? So in other words, when they had a need, so it says their extreme poverty welled up in their generosity. And when you become generous, there is no way that what you are doing God will not see. And then he changes your lot in life. Continue.
For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability.
Oh. So they gave as they were able. They also gave even beyond their ability. They did not use poverty as an excuse of not giving. You remember the other time we told you about the widow woman in the book of First Kings chapter 17. When God says to his servant Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman to feed you there. And I was saying, I used to ask myself, why God do you command a widow woman? Why don't you pick some rich people there to take care of your servant? Then it was the time when I was standing here and I said, the Lord just dropped something in my spirit and it was good. To say, he chose the widow woman because the widow woman had a need. He wanted to bless the widow woman. And indeed, when the widow woman obeyed what God has said, when she gave, because she was going to give, she says she was going to eat and that was her last meal with her child and they would eat and die. But then the man of God says, give me something first. Trust God first. And he says when she did that, her oil and her flour never ran dry until the Lord sent rain. So it pays to trust God. Even in your giving, you need to give by faith. You need to trust God. That is, I'm doing this, God knows my needs. Continue.
They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations.
Oh, they exceeded. Imagine you give and then elder, when we check, then we say they have exceeded the expectations. Mm. It's like you give and you have exceeded their expectations. Mm. Continue.
They gave themselves first of all to the Lord.
Oh, so the trick is, if you want to be a generous giver, you first give yourself to the Lord. You can't give something to the Lord generously unless you have given yourself first to him. So the trick was, they first gave themselves to the Lord. And then they gave themselves also to the servants of God. And then when they gave, it was a generous gift.
Yes.
So repeat that, they gave themselves first.
They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then by the will of God, also to us.
Yeah, so you give yourself first to the Lord, but you also give yourself to us. You commit yourself to this ministry. And then when you give, it will be easier. Yes. Now you can give generously. Now you give without grumbling. Because you gave yourself first to the Lord and to us as servants of God. Continue.
So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part.
Mm.
But since you excel in everything...
Okay, I want you to look at that verse 7. It's going back to what I started with when I said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread. Now you will see that the Corinthians, they were excelling in many things. Mm. And he lists them. Since you excel in everything, what were they excelling in?
In faith.
Okay, so they were excelling in faith. Uh-huh.
In speech.
In speech. Uh-huh.
In knowledge.
In knowledge.
In complete earnestness.
Mm-hmm.
And in the love we have kindled in you.
Mm-hmm.
See that you also excel in this grace of giving.
Did you see that? Some of you, you want to use your excuse of excelling in serving in church with your hands, and you think that replaces the grace of giving. He says, since you excel in faith, you excel in speech, you excel in love, you excel in this, but see to it that you also excel in the grace of giving. Giving is not a law, giving is grace. Amen. Excel in the grace of giving. Continue.
I am not commanding you.
Yes.
But I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it.
So he says, I'm not commanding you to give. I want to test the sincerity of your love. Many people say we love, but they don't want to give. Do you know that God loved the world that he gave? Yeah. When you say you love, we see your love in action by giving. Okay, read 2 Corinthians 8:12 NIV. 2 Corinthians 8:12 NIV.
For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have.
So it says if the willingness is there. So in my notes, I decided not to underline the whole word willingness. I decided to underline the first part of it. So if you underline the first part of it and you don't underline ness, what word did you underline?
Willing.
If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So if the willingness is there, then giving becomes simple. Amen? If you give yourself first to the Lord, then it becomes simple. You give yourself to the Lord and then to us as his servants. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, let's do 6 to 8. And we are, yeah, then I'll read one last one and then we give. And then I'm also going to pray for those of you who need prayer. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8, NIV.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Mm-hmm. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously.
So for me, verse 6 is similar to, it's a New Testament rendition of if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Because here he's saying, you have a choice. You can sow sparingly, but if you sow sparingly, what will happen?
You reap sparingly.
Yeah, you can't say, we sow sparingly and God will miraculously give us a generous harvest. That's not a scripture. Yeah. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You decided on the measure. But if you sow generously, you will also reap generously. Continue.
Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give.
Yeah.
Not reluctantly or under compulsion.
Each of you. Okay, I'm also telling you people, each of you must give what you have decided where?
In your heart to give.
Not reluctantly or under compulsion. So when we say that we don't force you to give, it's not that we are trying to be proud. We're just telling you the word. We can't force you to give. You decide. Amen? The only thing is that even if you decide not to give, God will still do it. Because God is not limited. It would have been good if you give. Continue.
For God loves a cheerful giver.
So I just gave you a recipe of being a cheerful giver. You give yourself first to the Lord. You give yourself to the servants of God. Then when you give, then it becomes easy. Then you can be a cheerful giver. But if your attitude is, pastors are eating monies, and I don't want to give, I don't want to make another man rich, then you have not given yourself to the Lord. You have not given yourself to the servant of the Lord. Then your gift, you cannot give generously. You would still have given, but you are not giving as a cheerful person. God loves a cheerful giver. I once told you about this thing of cheerfulness. And I think some people thought, pastor, maybe you shouldn't say it that way. So I'll say it, but I won't say it again. So I said, when we grew up, our parents, if they send you and you keep on grumbling, what did they used to do? They stop sending you, they send the other children. And when you want to go, no, you are a special child, you don't get sent. We're sending the other one. Because they realize when this one you send, every time she's grumbling when we send her, then rather, let's not send her. Then I said, for me, I also think that if you are giving to God grumbling, I don't think God enjoys that. He rejected the offering of Cain. So we can reject your offering. God is not desperate for offerings. He wants you to do it generously. So that's why then we say, God will still do it with or without you. But I won't keep on repeating those words.
Mm.
But I'm just giving you the truth on the side.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
But God loves a cheerful giver. And now when you give cheerfully, verse 8.
And God is able to bless you abundantly.
Hey. Mm. Say hey.
Hey.
So do you see now when I say I'm blessed, highly favored and recommended for more blessing, it's because God is able to bless me not just by and by, just enough food to eat to the whole, to the end of the month. From hand to mouth. No, he's able to bless me abundantly. You understand the word abundantly? its cousin or its friend is the word surplus. There are some words that are friends to others. He's able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. So now we've got a task. You know, we are building. Amen? It's an opportunity. So thank you very much to those of you who are faithful in your tithes, your offerings, and all your gifts. And I believe that you are doing that because you love God and you have seen the faithfulness of God when you do that. Amen? But now when we are building, I'm also appealing to you to say, like I told you before, even a special gift, a special pledge to the building of the house of the Lord. And you can never outgive God. Amen? Because God is able to bless you abundantly. Now, let me conclude with Philippians 4, 10 to 20. And I'm going to use this one to encourage you to give for the two things. I know in terms of giving, you're supposed to give your tithes, your offerings, and your building fund contributions. But for this purpose, I want to focus just on giving a special gift to the Lord for the building of his house. And I also want you to focus on, next week I hear that you want to have a pastor's appreciation. I'll prove you from scriptures that you can give to a man of God. Yeah, so that when you don't give a man of God, it's not because it's not scriptural, it's because you are not obedient. I'm going to prove it to you in scripture, isn't it? And it will be in your Bible. Philippians 4, 10 to 20 NLT. Mr. MJ, so that they don't think I'm trying to talk for the pastor here, you must read it.
How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again.
So it was Paul.
Mm.
He was not talking about concerned about the church.
Mm.
Concerned about who? About me again.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
I know you have always been concerned for me,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't have the chance to help me.
Oh, okay. Some of you were always saying, hey, but really, man, we want to bless the pastor. And by the way, if you feel like blessing me, don't miss this opportunity and want to give me money outside. Do it here. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I know that you were always concerned about me, but you didn't have an opportunity.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
So, Miss Sadiki and your team, you guys have opened the opportunity for people. Okay? I know you wanted, but you didn't have an opportunity. Now, the opportunity. Next week, Sunday, is the opportunity.
Yes.
Continue.
Not that I was ever in need.
Yeah, some of you will say, Pastor, but we think we don't want to give you because you don't seem to have a need.
Mm. Mm.
Paul says, I'm not saying this because I was ever in need. Mm. Amen.
Mm.
I'm saying this because I want you to tap into the anointing that is upon my life. And the same way that God provides for me, I want him to do it for you too.
Amen.
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 Amen. So he says, not that I was ever in need.
For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes.
Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news.
So, did you see that it was not the prayers that they gave him in this verse? No, they gave him prayers, but they also gave him what?
Financial help.
So, is the word finance in the Bible?
Yes.
How? Can you say, are the finances also in the Bible? I thought the Bible is spiritual. Okay, continue.
No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you.
I like what Paul is keeping on stressing. He says, I'm not doing this, even now, personally. I'm not saying this because I want a gift from you. Yes, I really mean it with all my heart. But we are doing this. Why? Continue.
Rather.
Yeah.
I want you.
Rather. Amen. I'm not doing this because I really am talking for myself.
I want you to receive a reward.
Yes.
For your kindness.
I want you to receive a reward. Amen. Amen. It's not for me, it's for you. It's like when that widow woman had to do for the man of God. It was not for the man of God, it was for her. Amen.
At the moment, I have all I need and more.
Yeah, that's where I am also. At the moment, I've got all I need and more. But still, I'm encouraging you to bless your pastor.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
In other words, you don't have to give us because we are begging you and we look like poor pastors. Then we can't correct you because you give us money. No. You give because you believe God. You give because you love God. Then we cannot be your slaves.
I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God.
Now, I want you to see how he links this. He says, when you are giving these gifts to me, who is getting the sweet-smelling sacrifice?
God. God.
Amen. He says, these gifts, you are giving them to me, but they are a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Continue.
And this same God.
That's why I like it in NLT. This one, for this verse 19, I like it in NLT. Listen.
And this same God who takes care of me.
That's what I want. In other words, he says, this same God who takes care of me. So I want you to tap into the anointing, into what God does for me. So this same God who takes care of me. What will he do?
Will supply all your needs.
Amen. So the God who takes care of me. So as you now bless me, you are tapping into the God who takes care of me. And then he will supply.
All. All your needs from his glorious riches. Which have been given to us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen.
Now we can clap hands together. Amen. Amen. So it's clear, isn't it? It's clear, it's scriptural. Okay?